It's March 14, 2010. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. My name is David Bolser, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University. We are a university of the church for the world. Pray with me as we open our hearts and minds. O God, we come into your presence with grateful hearts, because you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. We have often not received the just punishment for the wrongs we've committed against you and those around us. Today we say again that we want to turn from our selfish and hurtful ways and want to walk in your light. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the mercy that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. That was O God, Our Help in Ages Past, sung by the CMU Alumni Choir. Today we are pleased to have Norm Dick with us once again as our guest speaker. Norm is Director of Congregational Partnerships with Mennonite Church Canada and an MA student at CMU. Prior to joining the staff team at Mennonite Church Canada, Norm served as the pastor of the Graysville Mennonite Church from 2001 through 2008. Norm is married to Rose, and together they have four sons. Thank you, Norm, for joining us for the month of March.
In his book entitled Calloused Hands, Courageous Souls, Robert Suderman shares the following illustration. There's a story about two farmers. One wants to buy the other's mule. The owner exaggerates the mule's qualities, strong, young, obedient, hardworking, and always responsive to the owner's commands. The other farmer is interested in seeing the mule and how it handles the plow. So they go to the farm and the owner gets ready. But before beginning, the owner takes a large stick and smacks the mule on the head. "Wait a minute," the buyer says. "You told me it always responds and obeys. Why did you hit it?" And the owner answers, "Of course it obeys, but I have to get its attention first." In our text today from Jonah chapter 3 verse 10 through chapter 4 verse 5, while God does not smack Jonah in any way, one has to wonder how frustrated God must have become trying to get the attention of his stubborn servant. In the preceding chapter, Jonah has finally done as God had asked, declaring God's judgment upon the great city of Nineveh, warning that if they did not repent, God would destroy the city within 40 days. And to Jonah's surprise, the entire city repents of its wickedness, dresses in sackcloth and ashes, and begins a solemn fast, all in the hope poured out in verse 9 that God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. This should be wonderful news. After all, what pastor or evangelist would not be beaming with the success of leading an entire city to acknowledging their sinfulness and turning to God to seek forgiveness? And yet, chapter 4 begins with the reluctant prophet Jonah, greatly displeased and angry. Jonah even has the gall to pray to God with the indignation of a stubborn child. As a parent, I can almost see Jonah's pout as he whined to God, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and compassionate, God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." I'm sure most could agree that at first reading, Jonah is being ridiculous. He has no right to be angry. And perhaps the best thing for Jonah would be for God to follow the lead of that farmer in our story and smack Jonah on the head to get his attention. But if we look closer and dig deeper, we can begin to see that at the heart of this story, right from Jonah's retreat in the belly of the great fish, through to God's forgiveness of Nineveh, and now to this final conversation with an angry Jonah, the tension between justice, what the people of Nineveh deserved, and compassion, the gift which God extended to the city and now to Jonah, are brought into conversation so that you and I might wonder at the mysterious compassion, mercy, and grace of our God. As we continue on the journey of Lent, which draws us ever closer to the cross of Good Friday and the ultimate gift of God's compassion, this text invites us to take our place with the people of Nineveh and marvel at the gift of forgiveness, which we did not deserve, but which we have been given all the more. Amen.
That was One Day in All Times, sung by the CMU Alumni Choir. John Brubaker is back as my interview guest today. This is part two of our conversation. He's assistant professor of biology at CMU.
If I ask you the question of what does it mean for you, John, to be faithful, the term faithful referring to saying as a person who believes in the presence and the existence of God.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a few phrases that kind of work for you around that?
And I'll come back to, I guess, thinking of science as a way of being curious. Science isn't so much a subject as it is a method, and it's a particular way of applying logic and a particular way of reasoning, looking at the evidence that we see from the world around us and from our experience of that world. I think of it as one way of using this sense of curiosity that I think is part of what God was trying to do when he made people. And sometimes it gets us into trouble.
Yeah. But so to exercise that curiosity is an act of faithfulness in a sense. God says, I'm inviting you to be curious, so go for it.
So go for it. It's also, there's the tension there as well, right? Because it's the classic story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden with the tree of knowledge of yeah. good and evil, right? So and so it's that curiosity that also really gets us into a big deal of trouble.
Wow. You're teaching a class called Science of Life, which you said just before we were getting started here, that was with non-majors, so people yeah. who aren't majoring yeah. in biology or chemistry or math.
And this class this past fall, we had 95 students in it from, you know, all different academic fields, from music, from theology, from English literature, history.
Take me into a moment where you said, this is one of those moments that reminds me of why I'm working so hard at figuring this teaching thing out.
In a question on the exam in this class, the final exam, I asked students to just pick one issue or one topic that had particularly struck them as being significant to them during the term, and tell me a bit about what they see the issues as being and how the course has shaped the way they think about it. And marking that question, going through and reading that, I mean, it really was like, now finally I'm getting to have this conversation with students. It was just wonderful to see what some of them came up with and some of the struggles that they're going through and some of the clarity that they also have arrived at on.
And why was that so exciting for you to read an answer from a music major or a history major or a theology major yeah. grappling with your questions, in a sense, the ones that you're yeah. good at putting on the table around science?
That to me is, see, I'm, you know, relatively recently coming from a university research-based context doing my PhD, right, where the church is not so much the enemy or something that people rebel against as it is just completely irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And so I feel pretty strongly that going down the road, if the church is going to be a credible voice in society, we need to make sure that our future pastors, our future lay leaders, whether they're musicians or historians or what have you, are able to understand what the issues are and grapple with them and respond to them in some sort of integrity and coherence. And so that's what makes that particular course pretty exciting.
John, thanks for just coming and doing some storytelling and having conversation. I, like I said when we started, I feel so privileged to be able to get to know what makes you tick a little bit. And obviously, I'm extremely delighted and excited that you're bringing exactly what you've described to the table for students and, I believe, for the church and the good of people to be able to think into some of these issues. So,
well, that's what I try to do. I don't know.
Well, the word's on the street that you do it really well.
Well,
so.
Okay. Some days it feels a little like I'm a little more there than others. But well,
thanks, John.
Thanks, David.
Here are some upcoming activities at CMU. March 21st at 3 p.m. in the Winkler Burgtaller Mennonite Church is the Southern Manitoba CMU fundraiser event, featuring the CMU Guitar Ensemble and Men's Chorus. Also on March 21 at 7:30 p.m. in the Laudamus Auditorium is CMU Vespers, a time of quiet worship, contemplation, music, and scripture. Then on April 7 at 7:30 in the CMU Great Hall is Jazz at CMU. For more information regarding these and many other events, check your church bulletin or visit the CMU website at www.cmu.ca. Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. You can listen anytime to the program on our website, and I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education. You can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P2N2, or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, my prayer for you is this. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.